Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends like my friend and your friend, Neely Piazza. Yeah, we don't let friends feed kibble. Now, do we, Miss Niels?
Absolutely not.
What is going on?
Oh, man. House hunting.
I know. People are emailing me going, what are you doing? You're running people off like Jacek and Neely. They're all leaving Colorado.
I may be staying in Colorado. I just need to get further out of town.
Yeah, I get you. I'm up in the mountains, so you could come be with me.
I'll come stay with you.
Come to the mountains. Nobody can get you here. All right. So, what did you think about the rabies webinar, Niels? Wasn't that fabulous? The information and also this book, The Final Pandemic. Have you been reading it?
I haven't started reading it yet, but I do have it.
You already know all this information in here.
I've been following all of them for long enough. I have a pretty good idea of what they think and what they've found and what they talk about. But I've been preoccupied, what with getting ready to go to Kentucky and then going and then coming back and all that. So
yeah,
I've been a little preoccupied with other stuff, but yeah, it was pretty good. She could do 3 or 4 more and still not cover everything.
Right. I was wondering, I'd like to reach out to Samantha Bailey and Mark and see if I could get them on as well. I don't know. They're pretty busy.
Oh, wow. That'd be fun.
Wouldn't it? I wish they could have
talked specifically about rabies. Tom's mentioned it a time or two, but he hasn't really gone into depth other than just, oh, it's the most horrific thing. Don't ever use it. Don't ever do it.
Yeah.
But they've talked more in depth about it. So that would be really cool.
Well, I think what they do in this book, The Final Pandemic, is that they go over how everything is propagandized because you get celebrity endorsements, right? That say, this is the latest, greatest.
I remember when I was a kid and you get the famous people, celebrities advertising something. And when I was little, and still to this day, but even back then, I would say, why is their opinion any more valid than anyone else's? Why does it matter if a celebrity uses something? They're not any different than regular people. And I used to say that when I was like 10. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. Right. But they talk about that. And then they also show in the book how supposedly authorities in science say things, and then when you ask for the documentation, they can't produce it.
They clam up. Yeah.
And so I think that's vital that we begin to think like that and ask and really get somebody to. I've done it for years with customers who said, my vet said that this dog went septic on a raw diet. And you just accepted that?
Your vet's an idiot. Get a new vet.
Right. Well, they say stupid stuff all the time. But I will say this, that Dr. Jacek told me that one of the attendees from the rabies webinar used that information to ask questions of her vet, to which the vet had no idea that they weren't the rabies police. They thought they were. They thought that they were going to get their license taken away if they didn't give a rabies vaccine. And so he was, open to that idea that maybe they didn't have the correct information.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of a gazillion of them. But hey, everyone helps.
Yeah, that's still, I mean, everybody that sees that particular vet is now going to have a little bit more latitude. So that's great.
Yeah. And you guys can watch the rabies webinar. It is on our Rumble site. We have a great Rumble site. There's great information over there. Lots of videos, lots of short videos. But the entire rabies webinar with all of the slides are there. It's called the Rabies Webinar. And it is on the Rumble channel, which is Raw Dog Food and Company. So you guys get over there and follow us as we post a lot of stuff.
I think it's on YouTube too.
It may be, but you know,
I don't know how long it'll last there, but I saw the, I didn't look to see if it was the full webinar or just a piece of it, but I saw it on there the other day.
Yeah. It's, you gotta be where there's no censorship. So if they pull your stuff, you still have it. Right.
Right.
And exactly. Sam and Dr. Mark Bailey, they've certainly experienced a lot of that, as all of the people that are trying to present documentation, right? Which is what I love about this book, because everybody thinks that rabies is a thing until you start reading how Pasteur was injecting stuff in the brain.
He was such a tool, man.
And
gosh.
I mean, okay, let's inject, you know, vitamin C in the brain. You'd probably still have problems.
He's why we can't have raw milk now, too. He's why raw milk is illegal. So thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, that bacteria thing is strong. It's strong. It's a strong narrative, and viruses, strong narrative. Again, when you really start studying about them, how do they determine a virus or contagion is what I should say, right?
They made it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They made it up.
Right? But it's sort of like what happens in our pet parents' lives. They A plus B doesn't always equal C, right? So I mean it like this. You're in a group of people. This person is, we call it detoxing or whatever you want to call it, the body trying to rid itself of toxins. Sniffing, you know, sniffling, coughing, sneezing, diarrhea, fever, all that kind of stuff. And somebody else has the same symptoms. They think they caught it, right? They caught it from somebody. Instead, you were probably both just exposed to that thing that's causing it. But whatever. It happens in this business too. And here's a great example, Niels, where... And I want to talk about the situation. Now, I did not talk directly to this customer. I'm getting this information from our customer service team. So some of it could be a little off, okay, in sure. The pattern. But here's the gist of it. We have a puppy, okay, 12 weeks old that came to this family. The family is pretty holistic in their work and in their own lives. So they put the dog on raw. Okay.
Good job.
Right. And so the information was, we have this puppy trained. We have this puppy potty trained to go outside. But as soon as we started feeding the beef blend, beef PMR, and gave the dog colostrum, okay, because the dog was itching, the dog started peeing in the house.
Yeah, I don't think that's related.
I don't either. And I was like,
puppies always go through almost talk to any trainer anywhere. Well, any trainer that's worth their salt. And not obviously not every dog, but a good portion of puppies, they'll be good and solid and potty trained. And you think you can trust them in the house, and then they have a reversion period. That's kind of like the terrible twos. Doesn't necessarily correlate with that, but it's kind of the same thing. And then they regress, and you know, they'll start being naughty and they'll start peeing in the corner or you know, pooping in the house or whatever. And it's just a really common thing for puppies to go through. So I don't see any correlation between, especially possibly if a puppy was switched from very dry, dehydrating kibble onto raw, and it started having pee accidents from transitioning from dry food to wet food. That's possible, but a puppy that's already on raw, been on raw, and been potty trained, just change it to a different protein, that doesn't, I don't think that that's a thing.
No, I don't either. But, you know, I wanted to make sure. But here's the other thing, right? So a lot of times, and I'm taking this back to A plus B doesn't always equal C, okay? A lot of times there's a lot of other things going on in the diet, but the food is the one that gets singled out. And here's what I mean. So what I'm gathering from the information here is that the dog is not just on the raw beef blend, okay? We've got colostrum. We've got fermented goat's milk. We have Dr. Marty's.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
I know. Nature's blend for puppies, the freeze-dried, which has no.
Yeah.
Sweet potato, carrot, apple, turkey. No. I mean, blueberry, pumpkin. It goes on and on. And then we've got a dewormer. Now, it is a
I definitely wouldn't do that.
Now, it's a homeopathic, okay, dewormer. But the question is, have we seen worms? Do we need a dewormer?
That would be the first question. The other question would be, is it truly homeopathic or is it just a natural remedy? Because there's a huge difference. If it's a true homeopathic, like the most common homeopathic wormer would be Senna, if that's what it is. You know, you do that.
Let me tell you what's in it.
Okay, tell me what's in it.
Okay. Pumpkin seed, which is a natural dewormer. Just do those.
It's not homeopathic.
Okay. Right. Okay. Pumpkin seed, oregano, black walnut, wormwood, apple cider vinegar, peppermint, clove, and pepane.
That's like incredibly harsh. I wouldn't be using that unless you're under the supervision of an herbalist, and I wouldn't be giving it to a puppy, and I certainly wouldn't be giving it just because.
Well, but Neely, the label says safe and natural.
Yeah, well, if you want to learn about labels, subscribe to Joel Salatin and Sina McCullough's Beyond Labels podcast.
There you go. All right, so that's in the mix. What else is in the mix? The puppy is also getting the answers fermented goat's milk.
I don't know why you would be. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it as a product, but doing colostrum and goat's milk, and I don't. It's really not a. That goat's milk stuff, that goat's milk, it definitely has its place, but again, it's one of those things that, you know, it's not, don't do it just because. If you need to use it for a specific reason, that's fine. But I, you know, that will definitely give some dogs, the runs or, mucousy stuff, you know. Not all dogs, just ask Dr. Jasek, not all dogs are good with dairy. A good portion of them are not.
Not all dogs are good with the fermentation process.
Yeah, and you can totally overdo that. I mean, fermented foods are good, but very small amounts, and you don't need to add things in again just because. You don't start throwing the kitchen sink, especially at a puppy. Don't start throwing everything under the sun at them just because.
Well, wait, there's more.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. This is a fish oil coming from.
Oh, gosh, no.
Amazon. I knew it. I was like, okay.
Oh, no.
But
absolutely
wait.
No.
But wait, I got to tell you. I know from Amazon.
Oh God, that's scary.
And it's a 32-ounce. It's a 32-ounce pump. You know, jar.
Definitely okay, but, throw that out. Put that in the garbage.
Right, but let me tell you what's in it.
Okay.
First, anchovies, herring, mackerel, sardines, and cod. All those oils in there, right? And the way that they advertise this, 3, 6, and 9 fatty acids. Okay, that's fine. But honestly, guys, that's too big a bottle. And it's too many different oils going in there.
Well, and fish oil is especially, I mean, there's one or two incredibly expensive, incredibly carefully sourced and processed oils that are maybe kind of sort of okay for a couple of days after you open the bottle. But other than that, no. And certainly if it's labeled for pets, absolutely not. If it comes from Amazon, absolutely not. If it's in a plastic bottle, absolutely not. If it has a pump, absolutely not. If it's more than 8-ish, 10-ish ounces, absolutely not. Fish oil is not a good thing to add to the diet. Some of the algae oils are a little different, but fish oil, no, it's way too processed. It's way too fragile. It's going to be rancid. You're going to be shooting yourself in the foot doing that. Give the dog fish or phytoplankton. Go straight to the source. Don't use processed oils.
Yeah, I love phytoplankton. As a matter of fact, and the potency, I will say, is a very small, very small. Yeah. That's algae oil.
Yeah, and it's in a small bottle. That's a little different.
Yeah, Amanda's dogs were really itching. Right. And I said, listen, you got to stay with raw when you run out. Don't go to kibble. That's one. But two, add this phytoplankton or the potency or rotate both of them. Those dogs came over the other day and they're not itching anymore. Right.
Go figure.
I know. Go figure. But anywho, so one of the things that I just want to point out now, let me give you a little more information.
Okay.
So the pet parent was worried about two things, that it was the beef blend, okay, beef PMR, which is just Neil's meat, bones, organ, and fat. That's it. That's all it's
in. Meat, bones. I mean, never say never, but it's incredibly unlikely.
Well,
I just don't see how you could correlate that from a dog that's already on raw.
Okay, here's the other thing. She was thinking, is it a UTI? And she said, I don't want to put them on antibiotics. I said, well, you know, where's this coming from? So what I can gather from reading the information is I don't think there's been a test done to determine a UTI.
Well, go ahead.
No, we do know that many UTIs is just inflammation. But again, you just wouldn't put them on antibiotics.
Well, and that doesn't sound like a UTI either. A UTI, they're going to be having to pee literally every 10 minutes. A lot of times it'll be tinged pink. You know, they're really uncomfortable. There'll be other signs. I mean, that just sounds like a puppy that's going through his reversion stage and has got too much extra kitchen sink supplements thrown at him that his body can't deal with. Or he's reacting to a vaccine, but that nobody's said anything about that.
The dog was vaxxed prior to coming into the home. Now,
well, and as we know, vaccine damage takes quite a while to, I mean, it can happen immediately, but it can show up most commonly is 2 or 3 months after, but it can show up as far out as years after. So you can never take that out of the mix.
Right. But. You know, one of the pieces of information that customer service had sent over to this particular pet parents, what was in regards to antibiotics, you know, which are the standard treatment for UTIs. And it says in this article, the problem with this is that antibiotics don't just kill the bacteria causing the UTI. They also destroy the healthy bacteria in your dog's gut. Remember that many holistic vets say that urinary tract problems in dog are actually inflammation, not an infection. So using antibiotics will damage your dog's microbiome.
Yeah, antibiotics. Don't ever use antibiotics unless your dog is literally going to fall over dead in the next 5 minutes. And bacteria do not cause UTIs. Bacteria do not cause any kind of disease. They're there to help. So if they're inflammation in the bladder, then feed more collagen, feed him bone broth, give him some trachea or duck feet or something like that. Give him some brain. That would be a great thing. That would be a great thing to give that puppy is brain. I would do bone broth way before I would think about doing that goat milk. And I would do fish instead of the oil, and I would take that whole wormer thing out completely.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it's the beef, then feed him something else. It's not the beef, but if you think that's what it is, then feed him something different.
Right. So I think the...
How hard is that?
Well, I think a lot of times, pet parents don't like to remove supplements, okay? They just don't. But I think if you're going to do a true test, you got to get basic. And that means that you take every single supplement out. And I'm talking about the Dr. Harvey's. Just don't even feed that crap.
Oh, that, I forgot about that. Yeah, take that out. That,
yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah.
I would just say, because we have this in our raw feeding cheat sheet as well, right? So you got to get basic and take everything out. I'm talking about the goat's milk, the colostrum, the fish oil, the Dr. Harvey's, the the dewormer, right? You take it all out.
Definitely take that out.
Yeah. And just
that's pretty hardcore. I would yeah. Definitely take that out.
And then I'm going to come back to that in a second, because I want to ask you what would we be, how we determine homeopath remedy from this one. So hang on. But take all that out, right? Get basic. Just feed beef. That's it. Don't feed anything else for a week, at least 7 days. Let's see what's happening. Then give chicken or give turkey or whatever, right? And do that. And then you can add maybe those things back in one at a time. But some of those things, I don't think you need. And again, everything, we have a concept even on the human side that says, I'm going to add this supplement for that, this supplement for that, this supplement, and then I'm going to be like this bionic person. And a lot of times the kidney's just like, would you give me a damn break?
Yeah. Right? Supplement. I'm not big into supplements. Sorry.
All right. I want to go back, Niels, to this dewormer. And all I had to do was start reading the ingredients. And we were like, nope, no, 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 no.
What makes something homeopathic is that it is a substance that has been diluted and succussed at every step.
That's a word we don't know.
Dilution and succussion.
I know
dilution. You know what dilution means, right?
Yeah. But what's the other one?
And then succussion is not really shaking, but like if you were to take a bottle and pound it on the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or on a book or something like that, that's succussion.
Oh, okay.
So, It has nothing to do with home remedies or natural remedies or herbalism or anything like that. They're completely different. If something is homeopathic, it is because of the way the remedy has been made. It's been gone through, like I said, dilution and succussion in a very specific manner, in a very specific, using a very specific factor to do it. So now, homeopathic remedies are holistic and they are very powerful, but they're also very subtle and work with the body. Herbalism is a fantastic modality, but it is it works more along the lines of a pharmaceutical. It like makes the body do something. Homeopathics don't do that. The worst side effect you get from a homeopathic remedy is that it just won't work. You're not going to
So,
have, it's not going to force the body into doing something. It's just going to work with the force in the body to move towards healing. And if it's the wrong remedy, it just won't work. That's all.
how do they get away with this, Niels? Based on what you just said, this is called liquid herbal cleanse for cats and dogs. Homeopathic control for pets of all breeds and sizes, puppy and kitten, herbal dewormer. Okay. And yet I read off to you what's in it: pumpkin seed, oregano, black walnut, wormwood, apple cider vinegar, peppermint, clove, and
That's an herbal. That's not a, it's not a homeopathic. It's an herbal.
so they've got both indications on this. They've got both. They have herbal
Well,
dewormer.
who is, what's the company?
Safe and safe say Two Fur Finds. Two T
What?
W O.
Two.
It's Two Fur. TWOFURFINDS. Visit the Two Fur Finds store. Again, it's a big
I've never heard of that.
delicious herbal treatments for dogs and cats.
Yeah, that's an herbal wormer. It's not homeopathic. If they're using the word that word on their label, they're using it improperly. Or there's a ingredient that is a homeopathic that's added in there. That I guess that's a possibility. But yeah, that's a really strong product.
All
Those
right.
the some of the herbs that are in there are really strong.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you next is just because it says herbal does not necessarily mean safe or good for the body.
It doesn't.
So these are the things that we really, as pet parents, don't know a whole lot about. We just trust the labeling, and that's probably not the best thing.
Yeah, probably not a good plan.
which is why you want to work with Neely Piazza. Now, so again, folks, I think when we are trying to figure out what is going on with the dog, A plus B doesn't always equal C, meaning if you have food and you have six other things going into the dog's body, how do you know? Now, I hear this a lot. And one of the comments in the thread was, but my dog's been doing okay on this before. And I think the question was which one of these, ingredients are you putting in your dog's body? And I hear this from pet parents a lot when we'll say, take that out, right? Take out this. And they'll say, but they've been doing great on that. Well, they might have up to this point, or there might,
Doesn't
it does, maybe they're not doing great, but
that doesn't
maybe.
mean anything. Yeah, I mean, you can be do you can do you can be fine on something or clinically fine on something for years, and then all of a sudden it's finally got to you, or it was subclinical and then it becomes more visible, or you know, just like people that don't rotate their proteins. But he's been fine on it for 3 years. I'm like, yeah, that's your problem. You hadn't been rotating. You can't leave him on the same thing. You can't feed him the same thing every single day like that. You have to rotate or you're going to cause problems. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. The body is not static. It's dynamic all throughout. You know, you don't know what's going on. You know, the weather changed or they went to a new park or kid went off to college or boyfriend moved in or moved out or somebody got to, you know, any number of things will affect a dog like that, or you're sick, or I mean, you know, oftentimes some of that stuff has absolutely nothing to do with what they're ingesting. You know, you can't just you can't look at it that way. You have to look at the whole picture. Now, granted, you wouldn't just automatically start with if you've been doing something the same way for a while, that probably wouldn't be what you would automatically start with thinking. But, you know, you can't pigeonhole stuff like that. There's too much in the environment that you'd have no control over, and a lot of things you probably don't even know about. So,
right.
You know,
right.
Maybe your neighbor sprayed their yard or something. Who knows?
But I want to kind of wrap this up for this pet parent in regards to a UTI. So just because a dog, I was just looking back over it. So they said that this dog had just gone, used the restroom twice in the house. Okay. And then they got in the kennel and used the restroom again. And so the question was whether this dog had a UTI. Now, I don't know what, but I think that the inference was that the Beeplin maybe caused a UTI. Now, you know what we see the big.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So, but
so
high sugary.
Just give it some bone broth or. You can treat that with homeopathy just fine. You don't, I mean, like I said, the bacteria didn't cause anything. So they're doing you a favor. You don't want to kill them and you certainly don't want to destroy the gut. So, you know, even if that's what is going on, there are all kinds of other ways to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so. Again, we go back to this bacteria thing, Niels, where I think, the concept is, because I've heard it from so many pet parents over the many, many years, there's some sort of bacteria in this food that's causing them to get a UTI. Like some pet parents will ask me, if my dog eats raw and then they lick themselves, which they lick themselves all the time, can they get a UTI from that? And I'm like,
no, that's ridiculous.
No, right. Right, but why is it?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, let's tell them why it's ridiculous. Because we said so.
Well,
no, I'm kidding. That's not a good reason.
Well, okay. First off, bacteria do not cause UTIs. Hard stop. So, regardless of what kind of bacteria they're ingesting, it's not going to cause anything. UTI is from an inflammation in the bladder that can, and generally that is from vaccines or antibiotics or a lack of collagen. Or, I mean, any number of things, but it's not the bacteria. And dogs are designed to eat and live food like that. Their system is not, I don't, I,
it's not as fragile. It's not as fragile as people make it make them out
It's
to be.
not fragile at all.
Right.
And if you want to point the finger at bacteria, kibble is teeming with all kinds of bacteria, way more nasty stuff than raw food is. I mean, if you're going to point the finger at bacteria, then you need to look all over. I mean, thank God for bacteria, we'd all be dead without it. So you
Okay.
have to look at what.
What
Go
about,
ahead.
well, we see, we, okay, we do see, Niels, a lot of dogs coming over from like Farmer's Dog or even Dr. Marty's for Pete's sakes that seem to have these UTIs. That's what I hear from pet parents, right? My dog had a UTI, went and did this and did that. Is the pH out of balance? What's happening?
Yeah, that's absolutely possible because all of that stuff is high in carbohydrates and causes the system to go more alkaline. So yeah, absolutely. And they're cooked. You don't want to feed cooked food. I mean, what's the point in that? That's silly. And you know, you look at those types of foods are made to appeal to people, not necessarily to dogs. I mean, they've got big chunks of inappropriate veg in there. I mean, they've got big chunks of potatoes and carrots and sweet potatoes and peas and stuff like that, which the dog can't really utilize a vegetable unless it's pureed. And those are high starch, high sugar, inappropriate veg anyway. So that absolutely can play a part in that.
Okay, so I'm gonna just kind of wrap this up on the UTIs because this isn't the only dog, right, that we hear these questions. So it's always great when a pet parent has a question for us because it's not just them. There's a lot of people doing the same thing or maybe faced with the same issue. But here's what you guys do. You take all the supplements out, even if you think they're great for them. Right. And you just do the food. If in fact you're worried that's a food, okay, just do food. And then change the food. Okay. Change it to another blend. And let's take a look at that. And then you can add back in the appropriate supplements, not the ones that are harsh on the kidneys and the bladder and all that jazz. Okay. And you want to work with somebody like Neely Piazza that can really hold your hand and really take you step by step every day through that. And you can find her at Whole, WHOLE, wholeanimalwellness.com, or you can find her in our expert section as well. But Niels, even if a dog did have a UTI, again, antibiotics. Probably not the best solution. So if a dog does have a UTI, we got to get the pH back to normal. You say just do bone broth, okay? And
Do bone broth and call me, and we'll do homeopathy.
there you go. And you'll get it worked out. So anyway, that's just what
Cheaper
I'm, it's a lot cheaper.
and safer than going to the vet.
Amen, sister. Amen. All right, so that's great news. That's great information. Yeah. Well, Neely, I think you should just move up here in the mountains by me and get your barndominium done so you can have even more animals. And yeah. But it's always good to look around in the world and say, what do I want to do? Where do I want to live? And we go out and we investigate different options. And maybe we come back home and maybe we change our mind. And we do that in every aspect of our lives, including the rabies, including vaccinations of different types. We gotta get well educated, and we have to have some experiences, right? So that was a different experience for you. You were like, yeah, maybe Kentucky's not where I want to be, right?
Yeah, it is pretty there.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of pretty
I was
places.
asked about a lot of things that I thought about it. I was right about, and there was things I didn't know about it that I know now.
Yeah. You know, did you see the email from Karen from Doggy Dan? Karen,
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. She's really upset that you were moving. She blaming me. I was running everybody off. And just teasing. We love Karen. But anyway, well, let's do another webinar, Neil. Let's do another. I think you've got so much information.
Let's do it.
I mean, you're just somebody that can't help but do more education classes. You're getting ready to do another Ian Billinghurst course. I mean,
I'm such a sucker.
Yeah, I'm a sucker. I took another one. No, we're lucky that you can spread your knowledge around.
I yeah. like him though.
He's like the nicest grandpa ever. And we want to promote one more time the book, The Final Pandemic. And the reason that you guys need to read this book is because it will help you when you are faced with, should I give this shot? Should I treat my dog in this manner? Is there really evidence that this is going to save my dog, or is it evidence that this is going to be harmful? And I think you'll make great decisions if you know the research. And trust me, these two doctors right here have been put through the ringer, as has Cowan and Kaufman and, you know, all the rest. So you can ask questions. They don't mind if you ask questions. But I think all your questions about the viability of vaccines and how they have, you know, kept people from all types of diseases. Yeah, you want to read it.
Yeah, it's the biggest lie going.
It's a and you'll kind of understand why Neely is animate about the work that she does and the information that she puts out. But you gotta make that decision. We're not the pet police. We're just looking in other places, getting information from.
And as Dr. Jacek would say, your vet is not the vaccine police either. So
that's right. And you can watch the rabies webinar on our Rumble page, guys. It's Raw Dog Food and Company. Okay. If you have any questions that you would like for us to address here on the podcast, send it through our chat site. Our customer service will pick it up and ask you some questions. Try to give us as much information as you can, because invariably, Niels, you know, we'll do these podcasts and then I'll get an email afterwards. That's not how it, you know, I didn't do that and I didn't do this. We know that, guys. We're only taking the information that we have, and there may have been a question or two that we would ask that hasn't been asked. And that's why you work with someone like Neely Piazza, because she's going to take you through the whole process. Ask a lot of questions, right, Niels?
That's right. I'm full of questions.
Yeah. Yes, you are. And good ones. All right, everybody, get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. We'll help you get on a species appropriate diet. We have duck heads, we have feet, we have turkey necks. I think we have the bison balls back in stock. We've got all types of blends. We've got bones, and we've got phytoplankton. So get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Neely?
Friends, don't let friends feed kibble.
Oh, yes. She said, friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We're getting ready to have a storm. And so the sound is kind of bouncing in and out. But anyway, that's what she said. And I believe her.
That's okay. What I said.
All right. We'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.